What's new in React? In this episode, we'll talk about just that. There have been some changes. Version 16's got new feature. And Chris is going to recap all of that. Welcome to Tools Day. My name is Yuna. I'm one of your co-hosts.
And I'm Chris.
The other co-host.
The other. Oh, sorry.
We messed this up a little bit.
Ooh, that's fine. Let's keep going.
That's okay. Okay. And today we're talking about React.
React. And the new stuff in React.
Yes. So I'm super excited to hear about Chris's experience at, what was it, React Summit? React Conf. React Conf in San Francisco?
Las Vegas.
Okay, so Henderson. I got all the details wrong. But basically, he's just been stoked about like the changes in React, and there's a lot that's been changing. And I have no idea what those things are, so I'm going to learn along with you. I'm super excited. And before we get into it, I do want to say thank you so much to this show's sponsor. Today's show sponsor is Linode, and they've given our listeners a free $20 worth of infrastructure credit with promo code TOOLSDAY2018. Instantly deploy and manage an SSD server in seconds in the Linode cloud with your choice of Linux distros, resources, and node locations. Plans start at 1 gigabyte of RAM for $5 a month, with a high memory plan starting at 16 gigabytes. All have an option for hourly billing with a cap and include a 7-day money back guarantee. There are 10 data centers worldwide, and you can get a server running in under a minute. Build virtual machines and run Docker containers, encrypted disks, VPNs, or whatever else you would need. If something goes wrong, rest assured with 24/7 friendly support and phone support also being an option. They have a Python CLI, RESTful API, and have a manager tool in beta, which is active on their GitHub so you can get involved. It's the end of Hacktoberfest. You can get in your last minute PRs there. Remember, you get a $20 credit when you use promo code TOOLSDAY2018, that's TOOLSDAY2018, at linode.com/toolsday. So visit linode.com/toolsday, Linode is LINODE, and enter the code TOOLSDAY2018 to get $20 worth of infrastructure for your next project. Thank you, Linode. All right, you ready to get into it?
Oh my God, there's so much stuff. Not even that was just announced at React Conf. Like a week before, like 2 days before React Conf, they announced React 16.6. And then like 3 or 4 weeks ago, they released React Create App 2.0. So there's just been a whole bunch of stuff in the React world, which all is super exciting. So let's talk about it. So,
yeah, let's get started with the new changes to React, I guess. And then we'll get into... Create React App, which is like basically a React helper tool with a CLI.
Yes. Okay, so let's do 16.6 before the React Conf stuff. So 16.6 came out with a couple awesome new things. The first and really cool one is called React.lazy for all the lazy people out there.
Wait, like not like lazy loading, it's like for lazy people?
No, it's for lazy loading, but it's called lazy. Okay, no,
I ruined your joke.
It's okay. It's, you know, these things happen. It's fine. I'm just going to cry to myself now.
It's a live show. We literally don't pre-record anything.
Okay, so you may have heard of code splitting before, hopefully at this point.
We talk about the show all the time, so listen to older episodes if you haven't.
Yes. Essentially, it's you load components on demand when you need them. React has leaned into this infrastructure and has released something called React.lazy, which code splits components dynamically. And so all you have to do to code split now is when you import your code, say import lazy and wrap your import in this lazy function. And that's it. You have code splitting. And
so when would you not do this? It sounds like you would do it all the time for every component that
you can do it all the time if you want. Maybe you don't want something code split on the first render for some reason, right? But because the way they built it leans into how Webpack works, Webpack, you know, loves this, works out of the box with Webpack stuff, in addition to anything else Webpack is doing with code splitting.
So I thought that one of the reasons people use Webpack is because of the code splitting.
It is. So Webpack reads the lazy call that React does and hooks into it and does some additional things with it. But basically, somebody posted up this image on Twitter of them, you know, wrapping a bunch of their components in lazy, and it half the first time to render, half the first time interaction. It was just like mind blowing. It's super easy, and awesome, and it's stable. It's in React stable.
I love that you don't have to do anything but wrap it in lazy. That's amazing.
It's super cool. If you want to be super careful with it, which you probably should be, the other thing you can do is you wrap your component usage in a suspense from React 12, which is also brand new in React. And suspense is something that they've released partially in 16.6 and will come fully in 16.7. And we'll talk about this a bit later. And it's a way of React saying, I want to let you have full control over the loading scenarios of any React asynchronous code. And when you...
Oh, that's so nice.
It's so cool.
You can just pass in a loading component.
Yep.
Oh, so you basically, I'm dying as somebody who does design systems.
It's so cool. And what it does, in addition to all this, you know, suspense in 16.7 runs concurrently, which means that the rest of your UI application will load in parallel to any suspended component. So if you're doing a bunch of Ajax calls, a bunch of whatever you want to do, it will all load in parallel. So it'll load faster. Wow. You'll have more control of your fallbacks. It's phenomenal. It's really
this
like
this is really cool.
It's like so once React Suspense is released in 16.7, the full version, no other framework has anything close to this.
I've never heard of anything like it. It's there's so many use cases. There's so many things you can do with it.
So you can suspend image calls, CSS loading. You can suspend a whole bunch of things, not just React. And so there's
cards,
just
cards like pages, carousels, sidebars, like everything, like little bit of information, like chats.
You can, yeah. So it is like really changing how you'll do data fetching, how you'll, you know, make your apps more performant. It's just like, wah!
I didn't think I'd get so excited like over this podcast, but oh my gosh, this is like game changing.
It is really game changing. And so I'm really excited for this immersion to the main React code base. 16.6 has the code splitting part of it. 16.7 will have the data fetching part of it.
Yeah.
So it's just
I'm curious about testing for the suspense stuff, because if something like loads in quickly, like how do you test that in between time? Like, is there something that they're providing for that?
I don't know personally, but Kent Dodds has already released an Egghead tutorial on how to use this. So shout out to Kent Dodds, releases Egghead videos the day it was announced. So I'm assuming he's had it in advance. But like,
yeah, that sounds like some insider trading right there.
So that'll be there. It's super cool. It's so exciting. And that's just the first bit of stuff they've announced.
We'll have a link also to Kent Dodds' tutorials and to all the articles about this, maybe some talks from the conference in the show notes.
Yes, and so it's just going to be so cool. I'm so excited for this stuff. 16.6 also introduced a couple other nice syntax triggers, and so they released a class property called context type. So if you have kept up to speed with how React now does the context and context API, it changed in React 16, where now it's this render prop pattern. The static context type in React 16.6 makes it much easier to use. You just kind of declare it on your class, and that's it. Finally, they also released something called React.memo, and it's a way to memoize functions, which is basically when you call a function with parameters, React says, if you call it wrap it in React memo, it will only update if the props change or if the function arguments change. And it makes it really easy to make really functional, really performant functional stateless components in React.
How is that different from regular React components right now?
So React memo was released with React functional components in mind. So right now, if you declare a functional component, you just say function name, and then you return JSX, and that's a functional component. And with that, it will functional components always update whenever props changes, right? And whenever the object props changes, even if the what changes is actually the exact same, right? So if the props object changed, but it was the same thing, the function component will still re-render and just re-render the exact same output. With memo, it says, hey, if we know what the outcome should be, don't run the component, just output the stuff in the end. So it's a quick performance boost. People would do similar things to this with pure component and true component update. So it's one of those things that if you were using functional components, you had to deal with this use case. And so it's a nice kind of...
So it's just a statement that says, like, we just want a functional output.
Yeah. So, you know, let's say you had a function component that rendered a button, right? And it took a prop called color, right? And you use button inside of a different component, which was re-rendering multiple times based on its own state changes, right? Button would re-render every time with this exact same property. And because button re-rendered every time, it would actually internally also re-render. And that'd be some, you know, UI thread cycles that were going to waste on this thing, because in reality, nothing's actually changing inside button. It was just the outside parent that was changing. With React Memo, it says, hey, I know that my internals are not changing, so don't actually re-render this thing.
Okay, that makes sense. So yeah. All static components should be pure components or React Memo.
Yeah, so it's nice. Super nice. So that was 16.6. That was pre-conference.
Okay.
And then 16.7 alpha was announced in the conference.
It's
very, very cool. And they introduced something called hooks to React. And they had this big motivation document. But before I get into it, Yuna, you're pretty new to React. I use it every now and then. If you could list out some of your... So what were your major roadblocks when you were learning React?
I feel like a big thing was knowing when to pass props into other components. Like if you were exporting something from like one component, how did that work and how to intertwine? And when did you know when to break out components into smaller components? And like that was definitely something that I struggled with, like passing information.
Yep.
That's always, I feel like just starting web development, that's like a challenge that a lot of people have. I think that state is a concept that you like learn once and then you use that for everything, and like that's just how React works. So I don't think I struggle with that as much. What else is there? Like the component states, like the component did mount, component did unmount, that sort of thing. I always Google that. I always like Google for that. I usually just use like component did mount for most things, and then if I don't, like if that doesn't work, then I'll just like Google for the right answer. But yeah, I think the biggest challenge I had, especially in the beginning, was like figuring out how everything relates and like pushing props down, like pulling things in, that sort of thing.
Perfect. Okay, so 16.6 or 16.7 alpha introduced hooks, and they basically had three different main motivations. The first is it's really hard to reuse stateful logic between components. Sometimes you have a piece of state somewhere that you need somewhere else. You're like, how do I actually reuse this logic? That's hard to do. Two, the complex components were hard to understand because you had component did mount, you had component did update, you had component will on mount. And, you know, if you add an event listener, you have to do it in like two places to add and then remove. And then the final motivation was that classes, React or JavaScript classes were confusing to a lot of people.
There's also like classes versus like functions, like when you use what. Like I get it now, but definitely in the beginning that was like a whole like thing.
It was a whole thing. And React was like, hey guys, we understand that classes suck. We agree with you. How about we write React without classes? Okay, so that's kind of the summation of the React 16.7. Okay. Says,
what? That changes everything.
Let's stop using classes. We're going to use these things called hooks instead. And It's super cool. It's going to really change how you write React, basically. It's backwards compatible for them. So, you know, you can still write React how you will want to right now. But in 16.7, you will have this new feature, and it's amazing. So
the difference, like, what's the difference between hooks and classes?
Correct. So classes are ESX thing, right? So they're ESX classes, which is actually just syntax trigger around the object prototype inheritance thing that that JavaScript has. In a couple of a version ago, they introduced the functional components, right? Where you say, I have a function and I return some JSX, so that's how I render components. But in that, you didn't have state, you didn't have the lifecycle hooks, so you could only do pass in props, and that was it. With hooks, it's a way to augmenting these functional components with state, with lifecycles, with everything, but they've simplified a whole lot of stuff, right? So you kind of mentioned that you had to Google component did mount, component will unmount, component will update, component will did receive props. This whole stuff that you used to have to Google. The new one says, React says, oh, we have something called use effect, which does basically everything.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
So you don't specify
what
the component is doing?
So you don't. So before you would think of a React class in terms of its lifecycle hooks, saying, like, oh, you know, when I mount, I do this thing. When I update, I do something else. And then when I leave the component, I just do a third thing, right? So you're thinking of a component in terms of its own lifecycle as opposed to things it does, right? So when you add an event listener for something, it all goes into component did mount. When you remove an event listener for something, it goes into component will on mount. In the new world, you instead group things by what they do and you put them inside of use effect functions. So use effect is a hook that accepts a function. And then go ahead.
Okay, hold on. When you're writing a DOM click handler.
Correct.
You no longer put it in two places, you just put it in one place and it just knows to unmount it?
Not quite.
Okay.
So use effect has two stages. The first stage is the actual function where you say, hey, I want you to do this thing. And then what you can do is you can return a function in use effect, which will happen when React cleans up after itself, right? So in that return function, you say remove event listener, and that's where it cleans up after whatever you've done. And so instead of having the add event listener in a did mount and the remove event listener in a will on mount, you have them both next to each other in a use effect function.
Cool. I like that more. That's way nicer in terms of architecture for me.
Yeah, it's one of these things where people have gotten very like, oh God, this is so different, because it is
different.
It's very different in how we think about React, but I really like how it's thinking about, this is a function that does something, and that's what it does. It does all of it, and I can share this function around. It's reusable across components or applications, and that's how it works. And so
inside of that one function, you add your add hook and remove hook.
So the use effect does both. Yes, correct.
Cool. I like that more, but I'm also not like a hardcore React person. So. Yeah.
I think once people start using this more, it'll sink in and it'll be super cool. Jared Palmer, who wrote Razzle and Backpack and Formic, which are a bunch of big React stuff, released this library called Use the Platform. It's just great jokes. But basically, it's a use effect library where he's hooked in DOM APIs to it. And so he has an effect library that basically returns to you the window scroll position. And it's a live thing because use effect subscribes to updates. And so you can just say const window X position equals use effect, the Jared Palmer's thing. And then you'll just have that variable always updating, always live in your function component. It makes code really straightforward to use.
Nice. I like that.
It's kind of hard to talk about in text, in speech, as opposed to just a code sample.
Are there any examples out there that we can link to?
There are so many examples already. Like, people went berserk with it over the weekend. Nice. Just because, like, it's honestly, it's such a game changer in how you write React.
I also want you all to know that we now record these like fresh, super fresh, like the day before we put them out instead of a couple days ahead of time. So you're getting like the latest news on Tuesday.
Today's news tomorrow.
Right.
Wait.
Yesterday's wait, news today.
There we go.
All right. Yeah. What else?
So hooks and suspense are the kind of the two big things. So suspense kind of came out in 16.6, and then they talked about the new concurrent mode in 16.7 alpha, which is when you have, you know, you can turn on a mode somehow in React. They haven't really talked about it yet. And then whenever you suspend something, they all go into different UI threads. And so everything runs concurrently and you have this super quick application across the chain. You can tell React, what priority do I render something? Do I give it a high priority on the UI thread or a low priority? Just like a bunch of things around scheduling. There's so many new things coming out with React.
That's so nice. That's like when they came out with like async scripts, and that was a big deal because you could tell the browser like what priority you want your scripts to be loaded.
Yeah.
Like defer, async, that sort of thing. Yeah. So now you have even more control within React of that.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, I left the conference. It's like, oh, I'm so glad that I bet on React because, like, know the library now and does these things. And it's just like, oh, my God, so happy.
That's great. I feel like it's definitely still growing as a community, which I don't think a lot of people thought it would be at this point in time. It's been like 10 years, not 10 years, but it's been like a long time.
It's been like 5 years or so, 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, 5 years. Not 10.
They had
10
a slide.
Years ago, we didn't even have CSS3.
Yeah. Oh, my God. The worst timeline. They released a slide at ReactConf saying that React has now surpassed jQuery in Google Trends. That's how you know we're for real now.
Yeah. I mean, that doesn't surprise me, honestly.
I mean, it kind of surprised me that jQuery was such a still... It shouldn't surprise me that jQuery is still so prevalent, but it does a little bit.
It does. If you go on Stack Overflow and search for anything, jQuery is always in the answers.
Yeah. It's like, I mean, still. To be fair, jQuery does have a great API, but...
It does a lot. It did a lot for the web community. It did a lot, like, blazing the way for all these frameworks now and libraries.
Yeah. But anyways, we'll drop a ton of links into the show notes. All this stuff is best to go and look at the...
We didn't talk about Create React App yet.
Oh, you're right. Sorry, I forgot. Create React App 2.0 came out a little bit ago, October 1st, so 3 weeks ago. It is also super cool. It now has Webpack 4. It has Babel 7. It now supports SAS and CSS modules out of the box. So if you are a SASaholic, you can use it directly. You don't have to eject and like wire things in.
I will always have SAS in my heart, but I've now like a CSS modules convert.
Yeah, I mean, I had
you're
exact
using React already, you know.
Yeah, I had the exact same conversation. It's made it seem like I love SAS because I not grew up with it, but I've used it such a long time. But at this point, I'm like, well,
yeah,
you don't really need it anymore.
I can't believe I said 10 years.
I know.
I'm thinking like what 10 years ago was. It was a totally different web.
Yeah. But they also they've also added a bunch of other things. They've added in Apollo out of the box. You can use it easily, no ejection needed. They added in Babel macros. You can now import SVG as a React component. There's just a bevy of things. Oh, service workers are now opt-in to use it. So just a whole lot of really cool stuff that was basically...
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
It took me like a little bit of processing because you're just listing things off.
Nope, no problem. Yeah, basically, you know, for Create, they basically said, why are all the reasons people eject out of Create React 1.0? And let's just fix them. And here's 2.0.
That's great. They looked at their users, they looked at what they were doing, they made a decision, design thinking. Look at that.
It's amazing. It's outstanding. The React team has been like on fire this year. It's been so many cool stuff. So props to them.
Yeah. Shout out to all of you who are working on React. What was your favorite talk at the conference?
So Ryan Florence gave a talk right after the Hooks announce, where he talked about using Hooks to refactor a code base. And if you've never heard Ryan Florence talk before, he is probably the best speaker I've ever heard at tech conferences, except for you, Yuna, of course.
I'm not offended.
He's just like, he's so clear with his ideas, and he's also a Vim wizard, so watching him like type is just like an experience.
He was live coding. That's awesome. I love that.
He live coded this entire segment using Vim, which is just mind-blowing to me. He basically went through and deleted so much code converting an app to Hooks, and it was just really cool. So the first day keynote and then Ryan Florence's subsequent talk was really cool. The second day keynote, also super cool, is talking about Hook. It talks about suspense and concurrent mode. That one is a bit more future facing, but the Hooks thing is you can use today right now. So,
oh, cool.
Yeah.
Any last bits of advice, love, excitement for the audience?
No, just so excited about React now. Dan Abramoff, who announced Hooks, was like, you should probably not swap to Hooks right now. And then Ryan Florence came out and was like, no, we should all just swap to Hooks. So do what you want. I will definitely be swapping to Hooks in my personal applications tonight. So we'll see how
that
goes. I
gotta check that out. Yeah. I definitely want to swap to Lazy for everything.
Yeah, it's, oh man, it's so cool.
And Suspense. Suspense is so cool. Yeah. Just hearing about it.
Suspense is like literally mind-blowing. It's such a game changer.
I love it. Okay, so thank you so much for listening to today's show. I definitely learned a ton. I like got all the catch up from Chris here. Thank you for doing that for us. Also want to say thank you to our sponsor, Linode. Don't forget, you get a $20 credit when you use the promo code TOOLSDAY2018 and visit linode.com/toolsday. That's linode.com/toolsday. And the code is TOOLSDAY2018. So you get $20 worth of infrastructure credit for your next project. That's a great deal. So, you know, why not get some free money? You could create a React project, throw it up on the internet. There's so many things you could do on the internet. It's just like, I've been getting excited again about the web. I think October is a good month for it because everyone's like building things, like coming out with things. It's conference season. I've been living for it. Also, happy birthday to Tools Day.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
We forgot to say it in the beginning of the show. It's been 3 years. It's our 3-year birthday / anniversary. I don't know which one it is. Our podcast.
I'd say birthday. We were born 3 years ago.
We were born. Yeah. It's like a 3-year anniversary of our first show, but you don't say it's like your 3-year anniversary of your birth.
Birthday-versary. Yeah.
Thank you to all of you who have listened. Especially, I want to shout out to like all the IBMers listening because, you know, this started there at IBM Radio. A little talk show, and now it's grown. It's been so good. Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. Thank you for supporting us, for reviewing our podcast on iTunes, for sharing our podcast with a friend. It definitely means a lot to us. I also want to thank Webflow for supporting us on Patreon. They've never asked us to read out an ad, but they've always been supporting us for like the past year and a half. And that's been fantastic and amazing. And we definitely appreciate your support. I just wanted to say thank you and happy birthday, Chris.
Happy birthday, Yuna.
And we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.